Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 35 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jonathan Burton.
We're averaging right now, we're still up around 50 to 60 people a day through the day.
Officials with the Parks and Recreation Department in Moorhead say the Laughlin Building is being used more each month.
A community game night is set for Thursday at the History and Railroad Museum in Moorhead.
Rowan County's Board of Elections is preparing for tomorrow's re-canvass.
Meanwhile, the governor-elect launched a transition website.
A former circuit judge reprimanded for official misconduct will not get a delay in the case against her.
In sports, Moorhead State's volleyball team heads to Eastern Kentucky tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 22. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The director of Moorhead's Parks and Recreation says the Laughlin Health Building is continuing to see plenty of use. The city has been running operations at the facility for a few months now, with the county overseeing the maintenance there. Matt Hamilton gave an update during this month's Moorhead City Council meeting, saying the building is being used by individuals in the community as well as those within the city's recreation leagues.
We're averaging right now, we're still up around 50 to 60 people a day through the day. And now that's people that sign in. So I'm sure there's people getting in when there's a line. But other than that, it's going great. Basketball season has started. Practices, tryouts, we're using it from 5:15 to 9:15 every single day. So it is somewhat of a madhouse, but it's a good thing.
Rowan Judge Executive Harry Clark was also at the meeting. He says despite the building being neglected, there have yet to be any major issues arise.
The Moorhead History and Railroad Museum is hosting a game night this week. The event is held on the second Thursday of each month and includes snacks and a prize for the top winners. Steve Young says participants can compete individually or in teams.
We also play 20 questions. And then we have, throughout the night, we intersperse that with some name that tune types of questions. We play some excerpts from some of them are golden oldies and some of them are current songs, but we ask folks to either identify the song or maybe the artist or some kind of interesting background about the song.
Young says teens and young adults are also welcome to participate. The event begins Thursday at 7 p.m. at 130 East 1st Street across from the Moorhead Conference Center.
The re-canvass of votes requested by Governor Matt Bevin after last week's election will take place tomorrow. Each county's election board will meet to look at the total votes in the governor's race, where Democrat Andy Beshear received more than 5,000 votes than Republican incumbent. Rowan County Clerk Elwood Cottle says the process is similar to the recertification process, which was already slated to be completed this week.
The actual board members read me off the tally sheets, printed off the machines, and then I write them down on my recap sheet. And then at the end, we all match on our totals. And after they all match, then the next day we meet again to certify all the votes.
The election board will meet at the county courthouse at 9 a.m. The meeting is not open to the public at large, but WMKY will attend.
The man in charge of tallying up votes in Fayette County says rumors of voting irregularities or changes to the voter rolls that could have affected the recent election are unfounded. Fayette County Clerk Don Blevins says the November election was the smoothest on record since he was elected in 2009. But with Governor Matt Bevin openly hinting, so far without evidence, at inconsistencies in the voting, rumors are circulating. One suggests that Kentucky recently purchased new voting machines that led to errors, but it was based on an outdated news article. Another alleges that a large number of voters were added to the rolls in Fayette County. Blevins said that the allegation may refer to inactive voters who were still eligible to vote, but had been removed from the voters' roster's voters sign when they arrived at polling places.
You may hear numbers thrown around like Fayette County had 20,000 people added to the rolls in September. That's not the case. The inactive voters by court order were placed back on the rosters. That was about 16,000 voters. That may be what they're referring to. And it had zero change or effect on those voters or on the election.
Blevin says unsubstantiated claims erode trust in the electoral process and advise against spreading information that hasn't been verified. Governor Bevin, who trails Democrat Andy Beshear by more than 5,000 votes, has requested a re-canvass set for this Thursday.
Governor-elect Andy Beshear unveiled his new website for his gubernatorial transition. Beshear said the initial site provides Kentuckians with a way to connect with the transition team and apply to work in the administration. As the transition progresses, the site will be updated. Beshear is moving forward with his transition despite a request from Governor Matt Bevin for the re-canvass of votes. Beshear said in a press release that his team is preparing to address the issues that Kentucky families care about, like securing good jobs, accessing affordable health care, protecting and funding pensions, and supporting public education. You can visit the new website at BeshearTransitionKY.com.
Governor Matt Bevin's administration has again been ordered to release records about Brady Industries, which is partly owned by the state and plans to build an aluminum mill in Kentucky. The Lexington Herald Leader reports Franklin County Circuit Judge Philip Shepard said in a ruling released Tuesday that he reviewed documents submitted by the Cabinet for Economic Development and found four that are within the scope of Open Records Act and should be released with only minor redactions. The Kentucky Court of Appeals in May upheld part of Shepard's 2018 ruling that the cabinet had violated the Open Records Act by refusing to release documents to the Courier-Journal revealing the identity of stockholders or investors in Brady Industries. The Kentucky Supreme Court declined to hear the case and it was sent back to Shepard.
The U.S. Supreme Court has denied a request by a former Kentucky judge to delay an ethics case against her. Beth Mays petitioned the court in September to temporarily halt proceedings by Kentucky's Judicial Conduct Commission. The commission last week publicly reprimanded Mays and said it would have removed her if she had not retired in October. The commission found Mays attempted to help her ex-husband after his 2017 arrest on drug possession charges. She has been charged in a criminal case with forgery and records tampering. Mays had wanted the high court to delay the commission proceedings to, quote, protect her Fifth Amendment right to remain silent in the criminal case. The Supreme Court denied the petition on Tuesday. Mays was a judge that presided in Rowan, Bath, Montgomery, and Menifee counties.
State Representative Charles Booker says he is considering an official run for U.S. Senate. The freshman state lawmaker created an exploratory committee this week, allowing him to raise funds for a campaign in 2020. Spectrum News was there when Booker kicked off his tour Tuesday in Louisville. He touted support for policies like the Green New Deal, citing local examples of poor environmental conditions.
Here in the West End, in our neighborhood, we have contaminated field, brown fields right up the street. Lead in the paint, there's still lead in my mom's paint at her house. The ponds at Chickasaw Park are contaminated. The sign says don't fish here. Rubber Town right up the street from here, you ride past that, you gotta hold your nose. We can do better.
Booker declined to answer questions from the media after the rally. He is among several other Democrats looking to unseat Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who was first elected to the Senate in 1984.
Kentucky State Police from the Moorhead Post are investigating an officer-involved shooting in Powell County. Powell County Deputy Sheriff Edwards located an individual sitting in a vehicle at the 16-mile marker on the Mountain Parkway last night at 2:51 a.m. The male subject was 38-year-old Donald Lewis II of Louisville. The man exited the vehicle, shoved Deputy Edwards in an attempt to elude him on foot. Lewis ran to an occupied pickup and forced his way in and attempted to overtake control of the vehicle. Edwards disabled the vehicle by shooting the tires. Lewis then took control of Deputy Edwards' police cruiser. Edwards discharged his firearm, striking the cruiser, and Lewis led several law enforcement agencies on a chase into Montgomery County, where he eventually entered into a field, got stuck, and was apprehended. Lewis was placed under arrest and lodged in the Powell County Detention Center. He's charged with fleeing or evading police, operating a motor vehicle under the influence and resisting arrest. The incident remains under investigation by KSP in Moorhead.
A Kentucky woman was arrested at the Greenville-Spartanburg International Airport in South Carolina over the weekend, WMKY's Keneally Roberts reports.
A Pulaski County man wanted on murder was arrested in Michigan. 46-year-old Terry Hensley was indicted in August on murder and persistent felony offender charges. Hensley was driving a car that crashed into a pole on February 4th, killing his passenger, 36-year-old Amanda Goodman. Goodman's mother, Darlene Campbell, tells LEX 18 it has been difficult.
It's just been so hard. The hardest thing is having her son. And he'll talk about her all the time because he loved his mommy.
Campbell believes Hensley wrecked on purpose and is now raising her daughter's 8-year-old son. Hensley is scheduled for arraignment November the 20th.
A Kentucky woman was arrested at the Greenville-Spartanburg International Airport in South Carolina over the weekend, WMKY's Keneally Roberts reports.
Airport officials called the police Saturday afternoon saying 73-year-old Laura Jones was, quote, causing a stir at the luggage counter. Airport Director Tom Tyra tells LEX 18 Jones became frustrated with customer service personnel, and when asked if she had anything hazardous in her luggage, Jones responded she had a bomb. When police arrived and examined the bags, nothing harmful was found. Jones was taken to the Spartanburg Detention Center Saturday and was released Sunday. She has been charged with a first-degree bomb threat. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
The trial for a former Marshall University student charged with sexual assault has been delayed again. 22-year-old Joseph Chase Harden is facing 4 counts of second-degree sexual assault. 2 female Marshall students accused Harden of attacking them in separate incidents off campus in the fall of 2018. In court Tuesday, Harden's attorney said he was just made aware last week of the prosecution having an expert witness. He asked the judge to push the trial date back to allow him time to find his own expert witness. Judge Alfred Ferguson set a new trial date for February 25th of 2020. Harden is currently in jail serving his sentence from a previous conviction. In 2016, a 3rd Marshall University student said Harden attacked her in her dorm room. Harden is scheduled to be released from jail on December the 5th for the old charges. His defense attorney is requesting a bond be set for his new charges in connection with the alleged 2018 attacks. Ferguson is expected to make a decision on that later this week.
Taking a look at your region's weather. Tonight, partly cloudy with a high of 26. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 47. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of 25. Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 47. Friday night, mostly clear with a low of 27. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 46. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of 26. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 51. Sunday night, cloudy with a low of 34.
Taking a look at current temperatures around the region, it's 33 degrees in Winchester, Mount Sterling, Ashland, and Grayson, 36 in Inez, 32 over in Lexington, and here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University, it's 35 degrees. On our feature segment today, a new group called The Wayward Dolls released a new single this past weekend. WMKY Zoe Hall has the story.
The Wayward Dolls released their new single titled Homegrown at the Twisted Cork in Lexington November 8th. Jill Hamlin, Reed Fields, Ray Adams, and Whitney Adams are the 4 members. Jill and Reed are a part of a band called A Little Bit More. Whitney and Ray are part of a self-titled band called Whitney and Ray. The pairs met through their similar passions of music.
We became instant friends, so over the years we've become best friends, and it just kind of happened very naturally. We went on vacation together this year, and wrote this first single, and we thought, why are we not doing this together? We're having so much fun. We're all best friends. What's better than doing what you love with your best friends?
The band's unique name formed when they were seeking an adventure in the Moorhead area at the home of the Wayward Baby Dolls.
We expected something super creepy, but we fell in love with the family who live there and run it, and we fell in love with their passion for art. And we just kind of came back very impacted by what they're doing and who they are as human beings. And so when we were discussing them, it was one that just kept coming back. And so I think Jill finally said, hey, this is our name. This is what we're going to go with. And we said, sounds good. Let's go.
Their new single titled Homegrown was written as a group when on vacation in South Carolina.
We were all on vacation this summer, and Reed actually had brought his guitar and decided that if we did nothing else that week, we were going to write a song together because we had been talking about it so much. So we just sat on the patio of our condo one night, and Ray had a guitar as well, and he just started doing this little, we call them guitar hooks, and we just really all four of us wrote it together.
The band had the opportunity to record their single at the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg since Jill recently received a position there.
She suggested we use their facility, which is just absolutely incredible. And so we went, and a nice gentleman named Brennan there recorded it and produced it for us, and we were just so happy to be there.
Whitney says their new song has an upbeat, feel-good vibe, and it was written together as a group to reminisce on times of their childhood.
Kind of a summary song, so talking about things that we all related to as we were growing up. And so it's a really fun song, and I think we all really had equal contributions to it, which is kind of odd in a co-writing session, but it worked out well.
Listeners can go on any streaming platform to play the band's new single and other music they have made. To learn more about the band, follow the Wayward Dolls on Facebook. For WMKY News, I'm Zoe Hall. We're homegrown.
It's 4:47 and 34 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jonathan Burton and Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this chilly Wednesday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling. The public is invited to a screening of While I Breathe, I Hope. Part of the Meet the Maker film series, discussion follows with director Emily Harold. Reception at the Gateway Regional Arts Center begins at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday, November 19th. Support provided by the NEA, South Arts, AA, and Mary Page Fund, and the Southern Circuit Tour of Independent Filmmakers.
The Eagles face off with the Colonels tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Ty Martin. Looking to extend its winning streak over its in-state rival Moorhead State, volleyball returns to action tonight against Eastern Kentucky. The Eagles travel to Richmond looking to extend their winning streak to 5 matches against the Colonels. Head coach Jamie Gordon says his team was able to sweep EKU at home last month.
An opportunity to catch EKU at a good time at home. You know, they're a pretty young team, and we were able to, you know, get some momentum and get a good, solid, decisive win. But this is a much different team that we'll be facing tonight. I think they've matured and gelled a lot. They're playing great, scrappy defense.
First serve for Wednesday's match at McBrayer Arena is set for 6 p.m. Live stats will be available on msueagles.com. Moorhead State men's basketball team hit the practice floor early today before heading to South Carolina for a road date with Presbyterian Thursday night. It's the first games for the Eagles away from Johnson Arena this season. MSU head coach Preston Spradlin says it will be a good test for his squad.
They're a really scrappy bunch. I mean, they're coming off one of their best seasons in program history where they won 20 games last year, and you know, three of their top players this season played a lot of minutes last year, one of which is an all Big South freshman team member in Hightower, starts at the power forward spot for them.
MSU is off to a 2-0 start this season. They will look to make it 3 in a row tomorrow night, and they will tip off with Presbyterian at 7 p.m. A former Moorhead State men's basketball center has agreed to terms with a hoops club in China. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has the story.
Kenneth Reed has signed with the Zhejiang Guangsha Lions. Founded in 2006, the Lions perform at Hangzhou Stadium and compete in the Northern Division of the Chinese Basketball Association. By adding Fareed, Guangsha will look to achieve regular season champion honors for the second time in three seasons. The New York-New Jersey native heads across the Pacific Ocean after spending a season with the NBA's Houston Rockets. The Manimal was drafted by the Denver Nuggets with a 22nd pick in the 2011 NBA Draft. In seven seasons with the Nuggets, he averaged 11.4 points per tilt on 54% field goal efficiency, along with 8 rebounds per game. Fareed graduated from Morehead State University in May 2011. Fareed's contributions to the 2010-11 Eagles highlighted a unit that upsurged to 25 wins on the season, tied for the most in the school history with a 1983-84 rendition. Chief among these victories is the St. Patrick's Day triumph over Louisville in the NCAA tournament, 62-61. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The Morehead State women's basketball team is back in the gym preparing for two weekend home matchups. The Eagles opened their season last week with a 79-65 loss at Bowling Green. MSU head coach Greg Todd says those kinds of games are all a part of the growing pains his young team will have to go through this year.
They've been working very hard, got in great condition, and now working on the skills. We've been working very hard, and Hillsdale's Division II school. That will be a tough matchup for us, I think.
MSU hosts the Eagle Invitational this weekend. MSU takes on Stetson Friday night at 6 p.m. and St. Francis at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Work is starting on the new Boyd County High School football and soccer complex after a ceremonial groundbreaking over this weekend. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has the story.
The complex will bring students a modern venue for a variety of sports and activities such as football, soccer, band practice, and competitions, and physical education classes. It will be located on a high plateau in front of the high school, which itself was opened just 6 years ago. The complex will include homeside bleachers for 1,500 spectators and visitor side seating for 500, a structure for concessions, restrooms, batting cages, locker rooms, and parking for spectators. While the existing football complex will remain in use for some programs, the Daily Independent reports student athletes are looking forward to using and competing in the new location, which is expected to be completed in time for the 2020-2021 fall sports seasons. For WMKY Sports, I'm Keneally Roberts.
And finally in sports this afternoon, UK women's basketball coach Matthew Mitchell on Wednesday announced the signings of three future Wildcats. Treasure Hunt, a 6'2" guard out of Chattanooga, is rated the top 10 player in the 2020 class by All-Star Girls Report. ESPN.com ranks Hunt a 5-star guard and the 28th best player in the class. Naya Leveretter is a 6'3" forward from Blythewood, South Carolina. ProspectsNation.com ranks Leveretter a 4-star prospect. ESPN.com ranks Leveretter the 20th best forward in her class. Finally, Louisville's Sacred Heart guard Erin Toller missed her sophomore and junior seasons with knee injuries, but still averaged 10.2 points, 4.3 rebounds per game before the injury her sophomore season. WKYT reports Toller chose UK over Tennessee, Western Kentucky, and Xavier. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Tom Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball will host the Eagle Invitational this weekend, playing Stetson at 6 p.m. on Friday and St. Francis at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrials hit an all-time high as Disney shares popped, while investors digested testimony from the top-ranking Federal Reserve official. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did show a gain of 92.10 at 27,783.59. The S&P 500 was up 2.2 at 3,094.04. And the NASDAQ Composite was actually down about 4, finishing at 8,482.1. Disney jumped over 7% after the media giant said its Disney Plus streaming service got more than 10 million signups after launching yesterday. Gains were capped after the Dow after it was reported that U.S.-China trade talks have hit a snag over agricultural purchases. The report also said Beijing is resisting requests from the U.S. to curb tech transfers as well as enforcement mechanisms. China is also reportedly balking at commitments to specific farm purchases from the U.S. It was reported also that the U.S. is trying to secure stronger concessions from China on intellectual property theft enforcement and curb forced technology transfers, and in exchange, the U.S. would roll back tariffs. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell addressed the Congressional Joint Economic Committee later in the day. In prepared remarks, he said the path of Fed interest rates is unlikely to change as long as the economy keeps growing. He cautioned that challenges such as low inflation and weakness overseas remain. Powell's testimony comes after the Fed cut rates in October for the third time this year, and his remarks today were no real surprise to the markets. On the data front, the U.S. Consumer Price Index rose more than expected in October. The index increased by 0.4%, and economists going into the report expected a gain of 0.3%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.75% at $57.22 a barrel. Gold was up $11 an ounce at $1,464.70 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were pretty quiet, with the Stock 600 index down 0.25%. And in Asia, most markets were lower, with the Nikkei down 0.78% and the Hang Seng on Hong Kong down 1.8%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp 13 cents at $58.61, Delta Airlines down 72 cents at $56.49, Lowe's down $1.48 at $112.84, Marathon Petroleum down 66 cents at $64.24, and Yum Brands was up 2 cents to finish at $98.36. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Taking a look at your region's weather forecast for tonight, partly cloudy skies, a high around 26 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high near 47. On Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low around 25. Friday, mostly sunny skies, but a high of just 47. Friday night, mostly clear, a low around 27. And for your Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 46 degrees. Taking a look at some events coming up around the region, Moorhead State University will host an Education Abroad Fair for interested students from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on Monday, November 18th. The fair will be held on the second floor of the Adrian Doran University Center. Information will be available for spring and summer courses offered in Ireland, Greece, Australia, Africa, Asia, and Latin America.
The community is invited to a book reading by author Janice Morgan. She will read and sign copies of her book, Suspended Sentence, a memoir, at Coffee Tree Books on Main Street in Moorhead at 6 p.m. on Thursday, November 21st.
The Community Recycling Center, located near the Moorhead City Park, offers paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Rowan County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. The cost is $15 per hour, secure and confidential, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250.
The Star Theater at Moorhead State University offers public planetarium shows every Saturday at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Each one-hour show features a full dome video presentation, followed by a Star Talk highlighting what visitors can see in their own backyards. Schedule and visitor information can be found at moorheadstate.edu/StarTheater.
The MSU Adult Learning Center provides new books to children through a storybook Christmas. Books may be donated at Moorhead State Public Radio until Friday, November 29th, or at other locations throughout Moorhead and Rowan County. Financial gifts are also accepted. More information at 783-2871. And that's all the time we have today for Mountain Edition. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Chanasty Davis, Zoe Hall, Ty Martin, Nacogdoches Miller, Cody Robinson, and Keneally Roberts. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Zoe Hall. This is Moorhead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jonathan Burton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.